Hey, everybody. Great show this morning. We do a deep dive into the parallels between Solana and Ethereum NFTs. We talk about the potential for a fine art bull run happening on Solana, as well as, you know, the rise of D-Gods and Utes as the biggest project on Solana, but also a top five project in the NFT space, and the Utes drop being basically the most hyped up project in the history of Solana. We also talk about Kix's predictions for the weekend when he looks at some of the indicators in the NFT market. He thinks that there could be a pretty big weekend. And we cycle in a bunch of new speakers. There were a lot of new speakers on today's show. As always, all of our content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code THENIFTY on your FTX mobile app. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Friday. This is the NFT Morning Show. It is Friday, August 26th, last show of the week. We do this show Monday through Friday each and every week where we talk about all things NFT market. We talk about NFT prices. We talk about NFT stories. We talk about NFT scams. We talk about all of the stories of the NFT market and just everything in between. If you want to talk about NFTs, if you want to add to the discussion about the NFT market, then raise your hand and request to speak. It looks like we got some new speakers that haven't been on the show or maybe don't come on the show regularly on stage today. So it's going to be a lot of fun to hear from them. Shout out to our sponsor, FTX. They sponsor all of our content. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code THENIFTY on your FTX mobile app. And if you spend over $200 on a cryptocurrency of your choice on FTX, not only will you be paying some of the cheapest fees in the game, but you'll also get a $20 bonus airdrop to your account. So make sure that you check that out. We also do YouTube podcasts. We have a written newsletter that you can sign up for at thenifty.com, written by our very own co-host Signal. So make sure you check that out. And yesterday on YouTube, on Node Mode, the second episode of Node Mode, which is Node's new podcast that we've rolled out, we had a friend of the show, a friend of mine, IRL at this point, Kate Dean, come on. He's Cosimo de' Medici's right-hand man. Not sure if you heard of Cosimo before. And we talked about the fine art side of NFTs. Node, how are you feeling after a night of sleep after that episode of Node Mode?
Oh, it was great, man. Kay Dean is a legend. We gotta someday get his face on there so everyone can see how beautiful he is. But for now, he's still going in on. Great episode. Learned a lot, and it was interesting just to see, you know, like the inner workings of the Medici family, as he is the consigliere of that family. So,
well, nothing gets me more excited than you doing a fake Italian accent. That's definitely what I think a lot of people are tuning in for. Who do we have on Node Mode next Thursday, Node?
We got Chris Bennett, also a friend of the show, a friend of ours. He's been very successful in Web 2 and in Web 3. Does a lot of VC deals, angel deals. Very big proponent for the space. Owns all sorts of great, great NFTs. Big supporter of the community. So excited to have him next week for sure.
Chris Bennett.
Couldn't get Cole Bennett, huh?
Couldn't get Cole Bennett. Not yet. We're not big enough yet, Kix. Chris Bennett. Yeah, definitely friend of the show. He actually brought one of those VC deals to me that I got in on, which I'm not allowed to talk about according to Spencer until it closes. So I'm going to be a good boy here and not disclose that information. But it'll be a lot of fun to have Chris on the show. Former sponsor of the morning show. Shout out to Space Plus NFT. They're sending some people out to space. And I also heard Chris kind of whisper in my ear that they might be doing something with the Wu-Tang Clan in September. So you got to a space organization and Wu-Tang Clan getting in the mix. That's pretty interesting stuff. King Kix, it's Friday, buddy. Are you living that dad life this weekend? What are you doing this weekend, Kix?
Yeah, dude, gonna go to the arcade today, and I'm gonna have a lot of fun there. Don't get me wrong. I love the coin slot machines. It's pretty much gambling for kids, and I'm all for it. Do a little mini bowling. And then tomorrow maybe go to a water park. But then, you know, I'm getting some video games in this weekend as well. So it's gonna be a good week.
StarCraft 2 with the boys.
I'll play with you, dude. That'd be great.
I feel like Kix is always at arcades. Like, do they view you as like a regular? Do they just give you tickets when you walk in? Like, how does it work?
Let's just say that, I mean, you can buy a $200 card and you get like a ton of bonus credits, and I do that every time.
$200 at the arcade? How long are you there?
Well, no, I don't use it every time. Like the whole time while I'm there, like it takes, you know, four times you use it all. But I know I'm coming back so frequently that I'm like, yeah, let me get those bonus credits. You know, I'm doing cost savings analysis.
What's the distribution of like adults, grown men to children inside of the arcade exactly?
Well, the nice thing about this is a barcade. So they have a full service bar.
Oh, okay.
And food. Yeah. So it's still heavily, you know, skewed towards kids. I don't think it would still, even with a bar in there, it could still get a little weird if you're hanging out in the arcade a little too long. As an adult, you probably should be over by the big screens where they're playing sports, or at the bowling alley.
Yeah. If there's grown men without kids, that's a problem. You gotta watch out for them.
I think they probably have a security team looking at, you know, scanning for that. So I make sure to just go touch my daughter on the shoulder, like every 5 to 10 minutes, just to, you know, kind of show why I'm there.
They're just like, that guy's been on that arcade machine way too long.
And he touched that girl every 5 to 10 minutes.
We're going to have pictures of Kicks getting escorted out in cuffs. It's going to be a lot of fun. Easy, is this your second weekend as a Miami resident?
It is. It is, in fact.
Are you just like totally swole at this point? You've been in Miami for like 9 days. Are you just absolutely jacked now and like all tatted up?
Yeah, oh yeah, covered in tattoos, just lifting weights, living on the beach, massively overexposed to dust. It's great.
What's going on with dust right now?
It's at 291. Utes are dropping next Friday. Official mint date came out at 4 a.m. Pacific time, 7 a.m. Eastern time. Frank loves to do that.
Damn. So that means you should have dumped by now, right now, right? You said you were going to do it on the announcement.
Yeah.
So yeah, but this Frank guy is a pump master, though, because he literally put out a schedule and he's like, mint date, September 2nd, September 3rd, announcement for Dust Labs. So it's like, okay, maybe I gotta, you know, what's going on there with the Dust token? And then the next day, he has another announcement. So this guy is coming out with just like a big premiere.
I mean, Dust hasn't dropped that much.
It hasn't dropped at all. It's actually almost $3.
Yeah, it's gone upwards, Nick. It's gone up from 2 to 3.
Yeah, if you flip your chart back upside down, the price is going up, not down.
I'm looking at the one day, so yes, you are correct.
What do you think, Nick? How do the technicals look? Is it a trade from here?
I mean, I have no idea.
Let me add some context.
A chart that's going continuously up is usually a pretty good one.
Well, when you look at volume, yesterday there was $1.48 million spent in 24-hour volume on it. As of this moment, we're looking at $2.86 million.
I'm seeing 4.46.
Over a 24-hour?
Yeah.
What are you looking at? I'm looking at CoinMarketCap.
Yep. Is it Dust Protocol?
Yeah. Oh, this now has it at 3.084.
Okay, well, yours is updating. It'll finally catch up to mine, which says 4.45. But yeah, the volume just keeps increasing on this as well, which is pretty solid. I mean, in all honesty, if you look at this token, I would say it's done better than Ape, but it hasn't since launch. But it's now back above where it launched at, which was $2.40, which is pretty solid.
Do you have Dust for your mint yet?
No.
Well,
unfortunately not.
You're gonna have to get somebody because you're on the Ute list, which is an elite list at this point of people that are interested in buying an NFT that'll probably be worth.
How did you get on
money.
The Ute list? I thought you had to own at least one Solana NFT to get on it.
No, Kicks, I'm sure if you had applied that there would have been a pretty decent shot that you would have gotten on the Ute list, but you hate doing any form of administrative work ever, no matter what.
Yeah, if they really wanted me on it, I'd be on it. So, you know,
the application was like five.
You literally,
buttons.
You need to like go over to, you need to go down to Maryland, take Kicks out of his bed, carry him to a computer, pull his hand and place it onto the keyboard, and then the other hand onto the mouse and direct it in the correct way. He also tends to have drool coming down his mouth while you're in the process of doing this. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of how things are in terms of getting him to do anything, like responding to my messages, of which we sent some yesterday.
I wish everybody on the Ute list the best of luck. May you make riches.
Has the application closed already?
No, I don't think so.
You can still apply. No, you can say that you're the host of the Node Mode podcast and you're getting some heavy hitting guests. I know Brian Brinkman is slated to be on the Node Mode podcast in 2 weeks. So that's going to be electric. Signal's also referring me to someone that I think would be a potential guest for the Node Mode podcast. But obviously, Node, you need to give the final say on that.
Yeah. And speaking of the final say, I'm going to bring this up in front of the whole audience, dude. The whole audience. And by the way, I applied for U-List like last week or 2 weeks ago. Still under review. but here, everyone get this. Get this. So PO's like, okay, Node. So we're going to do this show, this podcast, weekly podcast. But you're not allowed to try and book like really good guests. Otherwise, Nick will get mad. So you can only get like, you know, only if we say you can get the guests, you know, can you get the. I was like, screw that, dude.
What?
If I get a big hitter, I'm going to put them on the Node Mode, and you guys can all just suck it. You know what I mean? Because I'm going to get the best guest possible. Yesterday, PO's like, hey, Node, I'm not going to post the link to Node Mode in the Discord because Easy Show is on right now. I'm like, screw Easy. Get this link out, dude. I'm not going to sit here and be second fiddle. Let me do my thing. So anyway, just trying to put that out there. I'm not going to sit back. You know, I'm going to keep pushing forward with Node Mode no matter what.
I wasn't aware of this management strategy, but now I see a little behind the scenes. So appreciate you bringing that up, Node, to management.
Yeah, just wanted to make sure I did it very publicly. So, you know, everyone's got my back, hopefully.
I love Spicy Node, and I love that energy. I love that, you know, that will to drive Node Mode to the top. And we'd never hold you back, buddy. I don't believe in that. I believe in you know, making sure everybody's able to spread their wings. Before we get to Kix's weather report, Nifty Nick, what's going on with you, buddy?
I'm just selling all my NFTs. Okay. They're all going.
You were talking about that yesterday. So you got into like a little bit of a sell mode.
Buy one, get one free, everybody, at the NFT Nick NFT store.
Okay, and how much money have you locked in? Because I know you were going to sell some 10 KTF leather for $1,200. That seemed like a good deal. There was some other stuff you were going to sell too, right?
Oh, damn. I sold a bunch. Wow. I suddenly I sold one of my – yeah, I'm now up to 3 ETH harvested out of my portfolio. And it's not all harvested. Some of it is lost. I think did I sell one of my I did. I sold one of my potatoes, so that was 1.2 ETH, which I don't know whether or not that was a good idea, but I'm just sitting here thinking like, what the hell am I doing with this potato for $2,000? A 10 KTF blank socks. No idea, that was $1,000. The leather $1,000. So yeah, I've just been selling some of these items where I'm like, I have digital leather that I bought for $200 or $150 and it's now worth $1,000. That's a pretty good ROI on digital leather. So that's why I sold that. And those blank socks. I still have, assets that are in this ecosystem, but the stock room to me, the problem is I just don't do a good job with managing. And then there were a bunch of cheaper ones that were sitting in here. I sold all my Pixel Vault stuff. There was the one I mentioned yesterday, Morning Bear Market Bullies, which had some random pump. I sold, I'm pretty sure while on the show, I sold a Meta Travelers. Don't remember if you recall that.
I remember that one. Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
Fluffy Polar Bears, which I thought were really cute. But
yeah. Good artist.
They were starting to piss me off. I sold one of my Lil Verses while on the show. Actually, looks like I sold both of them. Nope, those sold to me. So never mind. Those have not exited yet. So yeah, I've just been selling. I'm just looking in here being like, what am I doing with some of these NFTs? Like, am I really going to hold on to these? And if I don't, you know, love it, I get rid of it. It's Marie Kondo style. So that's what I've been doing to my portfolio.
That's what I'm talking about, Nick. Love hearing you taking gains. You were talking about this when we were on the 1:37 p.m. NFT podcast yesterday. So clips of that have already started rolling out on TikTok. It's going to be fun to see, you know, me and Nick just getting clipped out for some quick sound bites.
Camera angle was awful when I looked at that. It's literally like the underside of my chin. I don't understand what the hell was going on there. But shout out to them for the proper camera angle. But yeah, I saw some of the clips this morning.
I hope that video guy that seemed really thrilled to be there the whole time and really interested in what we were talking about.
The camera guy literally came in, set up a camera, hit the record button, and then sat on his cell phone the entire time. Like, he was just like texting with people. Well, I don't understand. Like, couldn't the original guy could have done the camera work? Like, all that guy was like an assistant for the most like basic of tasks. He was like, yo, the AC, you got to change the temperature on that. Thank you, sir. And then set up the camera and I got an angle of the underside of it. But yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, the fact that more setup, the fact that there's a guy that can set up the camera, we need to get one of those people on staff who are just showing up to my apartment and adjusting the camera for me. So it's ideal. And then they can just sit there on their cell phone.
Preferably one that actually gives a shit, because that guy literally did not care at all. And I kept like trying.
He's listening to say, right now.
I kept trying to say something funny and kind of look in his direction to see if he would laugh. And he would just hit me with the cold, like, just like a, why the fuck are you looking at me? I don't think you're funny at all. He laughed for 1 second at one point, and I don't remember what it was. I think it was a non-NFT thing. But anyway, moving on, let's get the show on the road. Captain Kicks, King Kicks, you are our weather reporter today. Would love to know what's been going on with the weather in the NFT space.
Awesome. Yeah. So today is a beautiful Friday, 26th of August. Last Friday of August. We'll be in September next week. Crazy how fast time moves. OpenSea volume had a nice 24-hour period at 19 million. We got apes above 77. Mutants trying to get that 15 ETH floor. Punks at 67. They've all been ranging. Moonbirds up to 15 ETH. Doodles and CloneX in that 7 ETH range. Big rally yesterday with Azuki. We'll talk about that. All the way up almost to 9, now at 8.4. So apes continuing to hold that number one stunner spot, leading the ranks, number one. Everything Yuga is seeing a little bit of a rally this week since Wednesday, where everything bottomed out, including Other Deed, which is up 10% from 1.5. Some people think that the rally is because the BenDAO crisis didn't materialize. I personally think it's just a little bit of a relief rally. We're seeing some buyers come in. But either way, great to see on the rankings. We got some big news. Kevin Rose revealed the Grails 2 artists. Some big names were in there, including Justin Aversano, Tom Sachs, Rafik Anandal, and Snowfro. There was no X copy, but we still got the Snowfro. Snowfro was Grail 14. It was minted 50 times and last had sales for 23 ETH. So Grails, you're definitely gambling to get a good one. If you get a good one, it could be a big payday, 23 ETH for some Snowfro Grails. DigiDaiGaku was running after the team announced an airdrop in a big news event happening next week. Yesterday, the collection was in the 3 ETH range, and after the news, it headed towards the 5 ETH range before settling at 4.5 ETH. Also broke into the top 5 on the daily volume charts. Azuki pumped overnight after the team tweeted an open anime universe for the world. But even bigger than that, one of Hong Kong's richest property tycoons revealed himself as a major Azuki holder with over 100 Azukis and is allegedly in talks with the team. So went all the way up to almost 9 ETH, now hanging out in the 8.4 ETH range. Mr. Node Mode presented a question yesterday about which of the projects people thought would have the highest potential upside out of CloneX, Doodles, and Azuki. Looks like Azuki is setting itself up for a nice narrative run there. That project was top three in the rankings over the last 24 hours. Looking over at crypto, Bitcoin at 21.4, ETH in the mid-1600s. We're getting a lot of ranging over in Ethereum, which is usually a good sign for NFTs because there's degens out there trying to make some of that cash. And if the coins aren't moving, the NFTs will. That's it for your weather report. Back to you in the studio.
Absolutely fantastic weather report today, Kix. Congratulations on that absolutely monster win on DigiDai Goku. Holy shit, 4.5 ETH floor pushing 5 ETH. Haven't seen a win like that in a little bit in the NFT space. That's an absolute jam. How many of those do you still have?
I trimmed one. I still got two, wow. Which is an awkward spot because if I sell one now and these things go to like 8, you know, it's just... You know, two is better than one, but it's worse than three. But I'm still very, very happy. So trying to just strategize here whether I want to trim another one and then just maybe hold on to one as a moonshot. But yeah, they're making big moves over there. So it's kind of tough because, I mean, it's only a 2K supply. So, you know, if the airdrop's really strong and it expands the ecosystem, maybe these prices hold up. It's all a guessing game at the end of the day, all a gambling game at the end of the day, but it's nice to get a win finally.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, but you're in a great spot no matter what, and it is a legit team, so that's the type of thing that makes you want to hold. Just some other updates in the market before we move on with the show from the Nifty Daily Digest, which is written by Signal 5 days a week. You can sign up at thenifty.com. Coinbase is reportedly introducing CBETH, which is wrapped staked ETH. Ahead of the merge, it'll allow users to use their staked ETH while earning rewards on the platform. So Coinbase getting ready for the ETH merge. Yuga Labs will be represented at the Video Music Awards. I made the joke last week. This was probably really relevant in 2002. I don't know how relevant it is today, but Yuga Labs will be represented at the Video Music Awards by Snoop Dogg and Eminem on Sunday. They'll be performing their new single featuring their apes and Other Side. So we'll see what that looks like. We'll see if that even makes a splash on Twitter at all. And if we see a bunch of MTV fans saying, what the hell was that? Other than that, on-chain sleuth Zach XBT, you've been seeing his name on Twitter a bit, wrote a Twitter thread exposing the individual that hacked several notable Twitter accounts, specifically Beeple, Zeneca, and Keyboard Monkey, some heavy hitters. Allegedly, the individual has been named, and he also carried out a SIM swap attack for $37 million worth of Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash in February 2020. So this guy has been at large for years. That's your weather report update from the Nifty.
No, just to touch on that, no, he isn't at large. He was 17 years old. He stole $30+ million of Bitcoin, only returned $6 million, and got 12 months in prison. Nice short prison time, and then now back out on the streets stealing more money from people. So just a real, real good member of society. I'm sure we'll see some great things out of him in his future.
Holy shit. So he's 17 years old. That's crazy. Last update before we keep it moving is that today there is an open house in the Nifty Discord. So if you pin to the top, I have a tweet that has all of our links. If you join our Discord, you can see the holder only section. It's view only for you today. So you can follow along during the show. That is pretty crazy, Kix, that, you know, that scammer has gotten away, you know, with it at this point for so long. I guess he's already done a bid. That's pretty wild.
I just don't understand how you can steal $36 million and only give $6 million back and it's all good.
Yeah. That is pretty crazy.
I think it's more that they can't recover it. I don't know if he still has it. Like, I don't know what the situation is with that money. It's one of those things where the money is still being tracked. So, like, I'm assuming that they're still trying to recuperate a large portion of that capital. But, yeah, either way, I mean, it's.
I'm gonna guess the guy that stole it has it, but I mean, that's just me.
Well, they have the mapping of all of the money, so they have it tracked where the money has gone. But I guess if you use one of the Tornado Cash style things, that it's harder to track. It's not clear that he can actually get it out of the ecosystem. But regardless, yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy. Seems like it's profitable to go and do some sim swaps.
Go figure. So I want to throw – we got some new speakers on stage that I don't believe have been on the show before. So I figure, why don't we spice things up and throw to some of them. We just let Goody on stage. Goody, it says that you're a Silicon Valley startup builder, a capital fundraiser, and you're on several NFT teams. You're also a writer, and maybe you work on tools too. Well, we want to hear your takes on the NFT market. You have your hand raised. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a member of the portal, and actually we talked earlier this week, Pio, but yep. Appreciate it. Absolutely. I wanted to add to the 17-year-old story. Number one, it was like 47 million. And they only recovered like 5.2 million originally. And that was a couple years ago. And that was, he sim swapped like a Silicon Valley, like CEO. I'm pretty sure. So it was like somebody that was like high up in tech as well. And he was like much younger at that time too. I'm pretty sure he was even younger than 17 when he first did that. And then this stuff with Twitter, it wasn't just sim swapping. He was actually selling access to a Twitter dashboard. And it was like an internal dashboard that allowed access to any account, basically, that you could like, and then you could like up requests and kind of like prioritize different things. So you could go for like try and do recovery of Zeneca's account, basically, and then up the request above like Zeneca's request to recover his own account. And then they were, you know, obviously hacking these accounts and getting in. So it was like a really intricate like backdoor process that they were using. And this kid was selling it for like $25,000 for a 1 month access, all the way up to like $300,000 for lifetime access. And he had a couple lifetime access sales that you can track on the blockchain as well. So it's really interesting that like all of this kind of backdoor stuff was going on for a while, and they were really not only using it, but profiting off of it a lot. I think in terms of stolen assets, from just those backdoor Twitter hacks, it ended up being like in the tens of millions for sure, if not like 50s.
Man, we have seen some crazy scams in the crypto space, and they're going to continue just given how easy the technology makes it for you to scam people. Hopefully we can see something that cleans this stuff up over time. We have another speaker that we haven't had on the show before, I don't think. His name is JS, 33.3%. Sounds like you're the founder of a project or a business, but you're also D-Gods for Life, and you're the host of Beyond the PFP. So I love having, you know, hosts of shows on the show. What's on your mind, JS?
Appreciate it. Big fan of the show. Just had a Easy on last week. Easy's the GOAT.
Hell yeah. Honestly,
big inspiration, you know, for me. But yeah, the 33.3% is for D-Gods. You know, I am mostly a Soul guy trying to get more exposure into the ETH side while people from the ETH side are coming to the Soul side. You know, I think it can go both ways. So, you know, quick sentiment. I was just wondering how you guys feel about, you know, making some moves on the Soul side. Because I know originally, you know, we get clowned upon that, hey, you know, floor prices are so cheap, you can't really make a lot of money. But, you know, with ETH coming up, we're really seeing some pretty big spikes in prices, and D-Gods is what, top five market cap of all NFTs. So just kind of curious and trying to gauge some sentiment from you guys.
Yeah, I mean, look, if anyone else wants to weigh in on this, I've been talking the whole show, but like, obviously to me, I feel like this whole D-Gods thing and Utes, it's probably the most hyped up soul mint ever. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's the biggest one, and I'm seeing so many ETH you know, ETH traders, ETH investors getting accepted to the UTE list. I saw DFarmer got accepted. Obviously, me and Nick did. And you know, you're starting to see more and more people. To me, I just think it's so Solana like maturing, and I hope to see more of it, just more quality creators. And I look at Frank, and Frank clearly has a chip on his shoulder. He's trying to make DGods, you know, the number one project, period. And he specifically said, you know, including Overboard API Club, like they're not trying to stop. Nick, you unmuted.
I mean, the biggest thing is, well, I'm bullish. I'm going to mint one of these things. I think that it appears that, I guess, you know, Utes and DGods are going to be pretty much the top projects on Solana for the time being. What's interesting to me, or it's not interesting that much, So there's subsets of these communities. There's Solana NFT collectors, of which a vast majority are just like, yo, I just trade Solana. And they don't give a crap about Ethereum collectors in terms of, like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's just irrelevant. Then there's somebody like yourself who's saying, hey, have you all thought about it? So appreciate the open arms in terms of welcoming. What we see is, we were having a conversation with somebody earlier this week. I don't want to name names, but they were like, they thought that you could go to like Uniswap to swap ETH for Solana, which is not a thing. And that's someone who's been collecting a bunch of NFTs, just couldn't figure it out, couldn't be bothered to take the time to figure it out. I think what the situation is that there's limited, the moment that you go into it is the same way that, like, if you go from long-term holding crypto, like buying Bitcoin and Ethereum, let's say, to suddenly trading it by the minute, then it's a major transition, basically. And so, like, you need to end up putting in time and investment to do the research to figure it out. And I think a lot of people just, especially in the ETH ecosystem, just haven't taken the time and can't be bothered to do it. That's been kind of the situation for a lot of people. And it's just, I don't know if it's out of part of it. You know, some of that is you'll hear people say, oh, Solana's got to reboot again, blah, 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 blah. So they're like just throwing shade at Solana as a whole. Some of that is just, I think the vast majority is just people haven't taken the time to transition over. But Tezos is the most comparable thing for me in terms of seeing how this plays out. At the end of the day, those that are in this market for speculation inevitably are going to participate in Solana as long as there's speculative opportunities, of which there's plenty. And if there's more activity that happens there, well, inevitably more people transition over. We like holistically have been bullish on Solana basically since the beginning, when Easy was coming on the show at, like, in October or whenever that was. Maybe that was even back in the summer, September, September time.
September, but who's counting?
Okay. No, but not, clearly none of us. September. So at that time, Easy was pretty active on that. And I think got us to even trade a couple of Solana NFTs. So we have, you know, the basics, which is setting up your Phantom wallet. Now you can buy Solana on Gemini. You couldn't do that before. You had to go on Coinbase, and I was blocked from Coinbase, so there was some friction there. But now, fortunately, I can actually buy and sell Solana as I please, which is a great place to be. It's
making those lunch money gains, Nick. You know what I'm saying, dude?
The thing that's most impressive is just Solana is executing better than a lot of these other blockchains. And frankly, I view them, they are number two to Ethereum right now, just in terms of volume, in terms of activity in the NFT space. And you could actually argue that it's higher on a unit basis. And it's not just an argue, that's just how the numbers stack up, I believe. Primarily because a lot of the average Ethereum transactions are much larger. So if you were to exclude Bored Apes, CryptoPunks, and some of those top projects, Solana would really be holding a candle to Ethereum in terms of volume. And they're also innovating at the same time in terms of like there's an actual corporation behind Solana. And whether or not you think that's bullish or bearish because you're bullish on decentralization or you're bearish on decentralization, that impacts, you know, what your take is on this. But I'm incredibly bullish on it. And frankly, all of the action is going on Solana right now, like a large percentage of it. In terms of innovation, like I loaded up my Phantom wallet and
name one innovation.
What's that?
Name one.
Well, I load up my Phantom wallet and it lets me literally sell an NFT directly within the wallet. So I'm just gonna like that's just like basic, right? So I look at something like that and say, wow, like what the fuck is MetaMask doing? Like you like we're out here basically. Nothing has changed since 2017. Now we have E2, but practically on like a user interface experience, yeah, there's more developers building stuff, but like the bar for making a website that like does some basic point and click stuff is still insanely low, which I'm happy about, but like
I agree.
Yeah, so like the user experience for NFTs is absolute garbage, and the Stepin, which is the probably, I don't know if they had more users than Top Shot, but like that's one of the greatest success stories of blockchain technology at this point in time, where people, whether or not they knew it, were on top of like a Solana project. I just think that that's something where when you see that happening, you got to like perk, your ears have to perk up, your eyes have to be open, and you got to say, what's going on here? And all that shit is happening on Solana. They got a phone that came out and everyone's like, oh, like centralized Solana's got a phone. I don't care. I actually don't even fully buy into half the decentralization stuff, primarily because there's still a, there's an intermediary, but I still understand the thesis of it, and there's a portion of it which makes me think, yeah, power to the people, and I fully agree with that. But still, you're seeing most of the action take place on that side. The thing that hasn't transitioned yet, and this is the last domino to fall, in my opinion, is legitimate collectors. And what I mean legitimate collectors is people who have a reputation as collectors, and notable items in their collection that are active on Solana. We haven't seen that yet. And a lot of them are bearish on it because they say, well, if that could just disappear, you could get into the technicals about the finality of Solana and how nothing's ever final on there because it's just a never ending queue that's building up. There's a lot of things you could throw shade at, but we need more people like Solana rather than less because they're the only one doing a damn thing.
Yeah, and real quick, and I want to throw, we got a lot of hands up, so this is good. You know, the Ethereum OGs, so to speak, are all just too fat and happy to do anything now. They don't get out of bed for less than $1 million. And so you have a bunch of hungry creators on Solana, you know, trying to actually do stuff. They're also younger, so they just give more shits. But when I look at like the OG Solana, ETH people, I see them just doing new projects or like being an investor slash advisor in a new project. It's got like a 0.25 mint price and they, you know, it's like a $3 to $6 million primary sale. And then you just don't hear about it after it mints out. And I know I'm not minting any of this stuff. I don't know who is. And so, yeah, I'm seeing a lot of ETH people being like, yeah, give me money, but I'm not seeing them drive anything forward in the space. I mean, obviously there's exceptions, but I'm seeing it much more from Solana and much more like energy, like creator energy coming from Solana. I'll throw to Spencer and then we can throw to Signal and then we'll hear, we'll work it around a little bit. Spencer, what's going on?
Yeah, this isn't maybe not super Solana related, but we haven't talked about it yet. I think we've got to mention what's happening today. Today is sort of like the groundhog day for the markets. We've got the Jackson Hole speech with Jerome Powell. We've got the stock market ripping a little bit. But we've got ETH down slightly from yesterday. I think what we saw this week was NFTs did really well because the markets were sort of in this holding pattern, waiting for this this speech from Powell. And I expect, like, we've got the merge date now. So between now and the merge, I think we might see huge amounts of ETH volatility. So buckle in, everyone, because the markets felt really, really, really hot on NFTs this week. It's one of the most bullish weeks that I've seen in general. But I'm super curious going in this UTE list. I have a worry might be the like other deed date of Solana. Yeah. Like, I don't know that this feels sustainable to me, but I guess we'll see.
And real quick, Spencer, when you say this week was particularly bullish, is that going off of volume? Because I felt like the volume numbers overall weren't that crazy this week. They were just kind of like what we have come to expect. Am I wrong about that?
So what I'm looking at in terms of what made me really bullish this week was that we saw a lot of movement in terms of the change of listings, and we're looking and I'm seeing like that's how Azuki is able to climb, is a combination of buying and also change of listings. We're also seeing a much lower percentage of sales going to WEETH offers this week versus prior weeks, and then we're also seeing a lot of like higher tier items sell. So I made a tweet about this yesterday that like 10 of the last 13 Bored Ape Yacht Club sales were significantly above floor. And so part of my view of health of the ecosystem is when we're seeing people enter projects buying their forever ape, not just buying the cheapest one to try and sell later at a higher price. I mean, probably they are trying to sell at a higher price, but there's been significant more gradation in like mid-tier rares this week than there's been for months.
Okay. Well, that's Spencer's perspective. Signal, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Oh, I was just going to throw back to the conversation on Solana. I think one of the most interesting things that I saw on Solana was the Phantom Wallet update that came out that allows you to safely remove spam and then clean up basically NFTs that you don't want inside your wallet. And what was really interesting is that when you burn those unwanted NFTs, you can actually make a little bit of SOL in the process. I haven't looked into exactly how that works. Easy, I don't know if you have a view on that, but there was something else. It's like Sam Bankman-Fried, obviously we all know who he is now. But anytime I see somebody of that caliber saying that a platform is extremely underrated, I think automatically, even if you're a maxi in one area, you would at least be curious as to why somebody like him is so interested in this platform. And he said recently that even though Solana's had a lot of bad PR at the moment, it's, you know, definitely been deserved, but they're working through that. But his point was, is that any time that you test the limits of what's possible, that's when you figure out what breaks, and any blockchain would have broken if it tried to do what Solana had done. And so I think sometimes on the ETH side, we don't realize how fast Solana is moving. And this is why stuff breaks along the way. And it's going to keep happening until it reaches a point where bugs are not coming up anymore. But the point is, anytime you see someone like Sam Bankman-Fried look at something, you might want to pay attention.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care about bad PR at all. Bitcoin SBF had bad PR. Yeah,
basically owns Solana, so I think that's one of the reasons why. So, yeah, he's one of the biggest holders.
But he chose Solana. You know what I mean? Like, that was the thing that he chose. So yes, he's obviously, you know, favoring it because he owns it, but he chose it. And I feel like he would just exit if he felt like it wasn't the right platform for him. Don't you think so, Nick?
He built it. Like, he funded the building of it too.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, he's heavily biased. But do I think he would just leave? I don't know. That'd be like a VC investor in like midstream while the company is still growing, being like, this company's a joke, I'm out. Like, you just like that would just kill your job as an investor, right? Like, you can't do that. Like, that's just not an option, because who's going to work with you if that's how you're operating?
He is heavily biased, but he's also built the number three exchange in the world right now, and also Alameda Research. So when you put that together, even though the investor is biased, as an outsider, you're like, I've always become very curious. Even when there's a bias, I'm curious why there's a bias and why someone like him would put his personal money or whatever he used to collateralize that investment. I'm just curious as what's happening there and not to stay just on the ETH side.
I'm not trying to be overly cynical. Well, he's said a number of things historically. One including that, like, he hasn't been just like a fundamental believer in crypto. Like, he's a trader. Like, that's the foundation of where he started with a lot of this. And then simultaneously, the biggest money to be made in this entire space is not in NFTs, it's in layer one blockchains. If you can build and or fund a layer one blockchain, there's billions of dollars of capital in the market that's available. And in fact, a lot of people that raise money, I was working at one last year. Actually, yeah, that would be last year. And that team essentially raised something like $100 million just direct from consumers. So like while we look at Pixelmon and some of these other projects that raised, you know, over $40 million, that's like a common thing on the blockchain side where people are developing things. So if you're a whale, you definitely want to be operating on that side of things to begin with. And then, yeah, I mean, I think you're right. Like if you're an investor, you're not going to invest, like he's not just pumping his bags just to pump his bags. Like ultimately that's a portion of it. But I also think that simultaneously, you know, he chose to invest in that team because he believes in their execution capacity and the thesis that exists there. Now there's a number of others that are operating in this space. Some of them are EVM compatible, meaning that you can just deploy ETH code onto their blockchain with a couple of, essentially a couple of clicks where it's easy to just transition over. And that's something that you could debate, you know, whether or not that's valuable. But there are a lot of developers that have been moving over to the Solana ecosystem or chose to go with that over ETH. So look, you're not going to get, I'm very bullish. I just think SBF was known when I think Solana was down at like $4 or $5 or $9 last year. At the beginning of the year, he was just tweeting like crazy about how bullish he is on Solana because he also has a massive position. But you're also right. Like there's validity behind that and conviction behind that investment.
But Mitch, yeah, you gotta say the quote properly. The quote was at $3.20, he said, "I'll buy all of your soul and you can F off."
Yeah, that was that's what it was. I didn't know what the exact price was there, but yeah,
he knows what he's doing. I mean, come on now, he's the youngest self-made billionaire in the world, I believe, or he was. I don't know if somebody's dethroned him there. I don't even think he's 30 years old yet, so pretty crazy. I always want to hear from Wappy. Wappy has his hand raised. What's on your mind, Wappy?
I had a great trade last night, and I think it's an example of maybe what you should do while you're trading, because it would not have hit if I didn't do what happened. So okay. I was leverage trading on DYDX, and I think when you're going into volatile events like we're kind of having today, because Powell is kind of slowly backing himself more and more into a corner, so it's the news item to watch is kind of Powell. And so this is a like high event, high vol news cycle that we're probably having this today. So what happened last night on DYDX is they started having some like platform issues, some API issues. So when you were looking at the charts and the order books, price wasn't updating necessarily in real time. So if you went on like TradingView and looked at like a price from like Binance or FTX, their APIs weren't suffering. So you could actually get like a more real price. What I noticed happened on DYDX last night is while their API issue was happening, there was some pretty whippy prices. So you were starting to see prices that weren't even being achieved in the real market or on other exchanges, like pretty significant amounts. And when you're leverage trading, like it'd be great to grab those, or it's pretty dangerous because it looked like manipulation on the platform to me. It looked like somebody was still able to have API access and was going stop hunting in low liquidity. So it happened to be the volatility was going in my direction. So I tried to grab it on the whip down. I think it went to like 1570 or something like that on ETH. I wasn't able to get it through the API issue, but it basically said like, I think we're going to continue down this trend. So I set a take profit level $10 above the whip of the last candle. And when I woke up this morning, we had another like API issue where we had whipped down. So it ended up, snaking into my take profit level. I think the story is important though, because it could have gone the other way. And if you didn't have a stop loss in place, potentially when they were going liquidation hunting, those whip up and downs, even though they were only touched for maybe like a second, could have liquidated an entire account.
Sorry. So I want to convert this into English. So you were using TradingView, right? Is that where the API issue is happening? And
I trade with the DYDX exchange up. So I trade on their charts, but I also keep TradingView up on the side to fact check them and to also do my like tech.
Okay. And which one was it, DYDX or TradingView that was having the bug?
Both. The API issue on the platform caused an issue through all APIs. So if you looked at TradingView DYDX information, it's still delayed. If you looked at DYDX charts on DYDX, it was also delayed and their order book wasn't showing. But like, so it wasn't clear where your price actually was on DYDX, but it was closer to market, but it was whipping at a higher vol than the real market was. And I was able to get a price filled this morning that was over $40 outside the spot band.
So basically, you're trading like crazy out here.
Yeah, I was going to say, Wappy, you're really, like, yeah, I mean, you're going for it, man.
When you say $40 outside, you're saying $40 outside in your favor?
Yeah. So like I when I go and look at an FTX and Binance chart, I saw that like ETH bottomed out this morning, like around like 1620. I was getting filled at like 1580 or lower.
So the story is basically you could go in and you were manually entering, like you were doing limit buys with those by just walking up and putting in a number that despite the stated amount, it was getting filled for far less.
No, I mean, it filled at my limit, but I just set the limit way below market because I thought that they were going to go stop hunting again and it was going to hit, and it did. Getting to a point where I think like the economy has like a few months of a more clear path in front of it. And I think we're maybe getting close to that point, but we're not exactly there yet. And if we get to that point, then I'll start to look at some of the stuff, but it's stuff that everybody like talks about. And I think I enjoyed watching the Node Mode podcast yesterday. And so Dean is somebody that I don't talk to like a ton, but I do talk to him every now and then. And he's been bringing up like art has been a pretty booming market during this kind of like mostly bear market. So I think if I was going to get roped back into something, I'm not sure it's going to be as much of the PFPs, but it might be some of the like fine art. That might be some of the stuff that I would start to look at collecting. There was a Grails piece, number 16 by Jake Fried. That was a piece of art that I just like as a piece of art. So, you know, there's some of that stuff that I've looked at, but then the next thing for me is like the dollar value behind it. And do I actually want to spend that? So that's, I think Node said something yesterday that was kind of funny. Like he's okay spending a lot of money on like NFTs, but he's not okay spending like a few hundred or $1,000 on like a digital frame. I think for me, it's trying to get over that point of, do I want to spend this and like hold this for a while, or how do I want to treat my like art investing? But I think art investing would be the thing that maybe gets me back.
I mean, you got to hold that stuff in generally. I mean, obviously there's exceptions to that. Node, any comment?
Yeah. I mean, this, the one thing that Kadeen mentioned yesterday, and this goes back to JS's question of what's the sentiment right now. I think it's at an all-time high for people that are on ETH that want to go to Sol. It's at an all-time high, and it's never been better. I think UTS is going to be the best, the biggest mint since Otherdeed, and it's not even close. So I feel like there's tons of positive momentum in that direction. And you know, even chatting with Kadeen yesterday, you know, Nick mentioned there's not a lot of whales over there. Cosmo is over there, you know, like, and Kadeen, like they're actively investing in protocols on Solana and buying art on Solana as well. So I think there's a lot of interesting momentum going that direction. And like the only thing that's been holding me back is I ask Easy about once a month, like, hey, what can I buy that I can just sit and hold for a year? And his answer changes every month. So as soon as it stops changing, then I'm totally going to buy a bunch of stuff, right? Like, I wish I had bought D-Gods, of course. I bought a Solana monkey business like 8 months ago, which has been okay. But like, you know, once, I think as soon as the market matures to the point where I feel comfortable that I can hold something for over a year, like that right now, I think that's coming where I feel like, okay, if I'm going to buy something on Solana, I could hold D-Gods for over a year and feel pretty good about it. I'm going to start looking at exchange.art, looking at the art space over there. I think it's got a lot of room to grow. So
I would like it if full doxing became the norm on Solana. That would be nice. So I want to throw to a new speaker here that I don't believe has been on the show before. Diamonds, also known as gin.eth. That's a pretty good one. If you're probably going to be able to sell that to an alcohol company someday. That's pretty good. You said hashtag Bitcoin is my time zone. Hashtag Bitcoin. My time zone is profit, never financial advice. You have your hand raised, Diamonds. What's going on?
Jim, guys, Jim Peel. I've heard the show a couple of times and positive vibes always, so I just wanted to add some value to the discussion. My take on the NFT market right now is that it's completely oversaturated. So new entrants and volume are down dramatically, and at this point, it kind of feels like we're pretty much trading our NFTs back and forth with each other, right? So at the peak, we had like 70,000 OpenSea active users. And right now, recently, I saw a number that was below 1,000. And I think that's...
I don't know if that's right, though. I saw the same thing that you saw.
I agree. That number was... It seemed a bit completely off. But it goes to show that the market is down quite a lot. So... That being said, I think that there is a great opportunity right now to make some value bets for the future, both on Ethereum and Solana. I don't really look at things as blockchain. I'm kind of blockchain agnostic in that aspect, as long as there's value to be found. So,
me too, man. That's how I operate. I feel you.
I think we're shifting towards a new paradigm in terms of people are looking for projects that have solid communities, serious teams that have a good vision and a strong ethos, and also a technological component that will guarantee the success of an NFT project in the future. And what I value right now is the teams that, regardless of the bear market, they're showing up daily and putting in the work and seeing this bear market as an opportunity to surpass the so-called blue chips. On the Solana topic, I think ETH is superior at the moment because of volume, because of interest, because of quality, because of infrastructure, because of tools, because of marketplaces, because of market size. I think the opportunity for Solana-based projects is innovation because I do agree with what you said before that Ethereum projects are getting very comfortable and are getting very lazy. So I think innovation is the key aspect to drive Solana-based projects forward. But now I have a question for the people who are mainly Solana-based or are Solana maximalists. And the question is, what is the upside of a Solana-based NFT project for a collector such as myself, right? And that's the first question. And the second question is, what happens to all this Solana momentum after use?
Anybody? JS?
Yeah, you know, I think as the resident Solana guy, besides Easy, you know, if Easy wants to take it, I'll give him the hand. But, you know, I've been hypothesizing what happens to ETH money as, you know, you guys come into Utes. And I don't think it stops with Utes, you know. I've spoken to quite a few people and they're like, you know, I think I will go into OK Bears or something like that. And there are a few other collections that make sense. Now, back onto the utility side. You know, I do think Solana as a blockchain is better fit for utility NFTs and just more development down the line. I know you mentioned Stepin. You know, as a blockchain with very low transaction times and costs, I think you're much better built for commercial use. And if you believe in blockchain as a technology long term and layer one long term, you know, for commercial adoption, I think Solana is the way. So I think there's a balance between, hey, I know ETH has all the money right now, but over a long period of time, right, do I think more people can switch to Solana given that they can overcome these technical difficulties? And if you think yes, then, you know, then I think Solana is the way. When I was first coming into NFTs, you know, I didn't have much money, so I couldn't really participate on the ETH side. But, you know, I looked at Solana as like an up-and-coming tech that, since I've started, has grown tremendously and still think can grow tremendously. So that's my two cents on that.
Easy.
Yeah, I just wanted to hop in and quickly say that right there, clip that. That was the best pitch on Solana and Solana NFTs that I've ever heard. Right there. clip that. What he said was absolutely perfect, which is everyone ignores like why Solana may be able to win, right? They just look at like, oh, it's only 10% of the revenue. There's some NFT projects, yada, yada, yada. When we're talking mass market, does the instant, nearly instant transaction speed and gasless transactions, is that the setup that wins at mass market? I mean, the average person's not going to spend $5 on gas. And I know, you know, the layer two stuff is going to make it cheaper, but those are very real things, you know, for to onboard new people. Also, I feel like Solana has held the number two NFT market spot like, you know, a chain spot for the longest period of time. Like there is no one else that has shown that they can like compete on that level for an extended period of time. We've had other chains do little like blips, like up and down over like 2 or 3 months, but Solana is sustained for a very long time. I take the simple approach, which another speaker previously said, which is I just operate as being chain agnostic. I've been buying Solana NFTs for a year. I have Solana NFTs, my Aurori NFT I've had for like at least pretty much a year now, I think. So I'll buy regardless of what chain that I'm on. Having said that, I probably spend 80% of my time researching on the Ethereum side. So that's, of course, going to influence my exposure and my buys versus maybe I spend 20% of my time on other chains. The real significant thing is if we see more and more people that maybe traditionally traded on ETH spending more of their research and analysis time on the Solana side, because that will start to influence their purchases.
Great, great addition, Kix. Easy, anything to add to that?
No, I think it was also something Nick had said earlier too about the centralization aspect. Like it's going to be tough to get mass adoption in outside businesses to enter into something that's truly decentralized. So it almost doesn't hurt it. If anything, it's a benefit playing into that too. But I think JS summed it up perfectly.
Nice. And Daramola, I know you've done Solana drops. You have your hand raised. Something to add here?
Yeah, my friend. I was just going to add something to Diamond's question. I think JS and EZ have properly explained, and even Kix too, even though he spends 80% of his time on Ethereum. I was going to say, I think it would be completely unwise to pigeonhole the success of a rapidly growing marketplace or, I guess, chain and ecosystem to the bags of just one project specifically. And don't get me wrong, I think Frank has done a phenomenal job. And I mean, there's this underlying like pride that most, I mean, if you're not a hater, you have, because Frank essentially has been making the ecosystem look good. But there are also other projects with a bag of funds that, you know, once the next bull market kicks off, or once we see more of what we've been seeing over the past few months on Solana, I think those people are going to go crazy too. Like, for example, you have the OK Bears, and like Kix mentioned, you have the Aurori play. And a lot of people don't know about the Aurori project, but as much as they also raised, they also have VC funding, or you have Portals, the Metaverse play, which right now, just trying out the demos, already looks like a way better Metaverse area to me than a Decentraland or a Sandbox. So I think there's a lot of upside within the Solana ecosystem. And I think it's super wise to be chain agnostic. At the end of the day, it's the experience of having to play this game, quote unquote, called the NFT game. And I think there's a bigger upside when you look at more chains, especially when one's prevalent and constantly rearing its head up in the conversation.
Well put. And I definitely agree. I mean, look, we're trending towards that stuff. So being tribal about it is definitely not the move.
And we're all playing the NFT game, Pia. Don't you love that? We're playing the NFT game.
Exactly, man. When we got into NFTs in early 2021, we weren't saying I'm into ETH NFTs. Like, no, we were like, we're getting into NFTs. It wasn't like a blockchain specific thing. I'll throw back to Goody. You have your hand raised. What's going on?
When it comes to like the gods in particular, they're one of the reasons why they're so awesome is the fact that they can kind of try and innovate and test and do things without their holders getting pissed, right? Like people don't get pissed at Frank for trying something and it not working out. I'm pretty sure they had like the bitch tax or whatever they called it for selling like at floor or
something, and people didn't like that and they took it away, right? And they're getting to try all these things with like the scholarship and with Dust, and their holders are supportive and not like floorers when something gets tried, and you know, they are more constructive criticism givers. And I think that's one of the most bullish things about like the DGods community as a whole, is the fact that there's so much communication from like community to leaders and vice versa, and the ability to kind of like iterate upon that communication. And then like the last thing is, I think it's, they do something really cool that like nobody really else does, which is if you go to their website and you buy the floor DGod, whatever is available, you get like a certain percentage of the royalty, and it's like gamified. So you get a random percentage of the royalty back as Dust on your purchase. And I think that that's like kind of a really cool incentivization to buy stuff off the floor, especially of a project that's kind of hyped.
Yeah, as you can tell.
I guarantee you that Frank is going to, on September 3rd, announce the utility tokenomics proposition for Dust. So I don't know why I said this out loud. Now I'm going to regret it. There may be a play on buying the dip on Dust after in the gap between the mint and when people think that there's going to be no utility for this token. There's probably a play there.
I will say that you know, Frank did announce that there will be an announcement for Dust the day after the ETH mint, but you know, everyone in the Solana space, at least smart money in Solana space, has been calling for this play for a very long time. It's been rumored that Frank is going to have some type of announcement. So we've all been waiting for it. I know I have.
I'm sure a lot of hype is going to continue to come our way. Clearly, DGods is the talk of the town. That's really what's prompting us to have this conversation about Solana. It's a lot more airtime than Solana projects would normally be getting on this show. So, you know, you have to think that there's a little bit of a, you know, there's a lot of interest growing there, and it's being led by DGods in this upcoming Utes Mint. People in our Discord were saying that the Utes Mint may be the other deed type event for Solana. In other words, like the literal top. So we'll have to see how everything plays out. Kix, you just raised your hand. Something to add?
Oh, I was hoping you were going to kick me right away. I was going to just take a couple more seconds. I was just looking at some data, and I feel like we may be set up for a very good weekend ahead. So I'm excited.
What data?
Just the volume, how many buyers and sellers we have coming into the market. Let me pull some stuff up. I'll get some hard numbers for you.
Okay, cool. We'll come back to you. We have a new speaker on stage. I don't believe that you've been on the show before. Your name is Roger, R_Red. It says that you are into commercial real estate investments, but also DeFi, Metaverse, NFTs, Web3, blockchain gaming, blockchain oracles. I don't know exactly what that means, but yeah. Oh, he left. He ran away. As soon as I started getting ready to throw to him, he was like, no, I wasn't trying to actually contribute on the show. Well, look, Diamonds, you have your hand raised again. Something else to add?
Yeah, just going back to what JS said. So the argument he made about users being priced out of Ethereum is probably the best one I've heard, because as an Ethereum NFT trader for 1.5 years, I completely overlook this. For me, paying a high gas fee, that's the most valid points I've. Hello?
Yeah, yes. you'd cut out for a second, yeah.
I was just saying that the argument that JS made regarding users being priced out of Ethereum is probably the best I've ever heard in terms of moving to Solana. Because as an Ethereum NFT trader for 1.5 years, I completely overlooked this. For me, paying a high gas fee is business as usual, and it shouldn't be, right? So, but still, there are factors that need to improve drastically. Quality, infrastructure, tools, marketplaces. This needs to improve if Solana wants to really compete with Ethereum. Because right now, for example, I look at Solana projects and I would only buy DGods and Utes. That's it in terms of quality. And maybe I haven't researched enough, but
You definitely haven't researched enough. It's comical you say the marketplace, excuse me, the marketplace needs to improve when Magic Eden is consistently outperforming OpenSea.
Yeah, well, I'll just make my point and then we can debate that if you want. But for me, the real barrier to entry for Solana is comfort, right? I took a long time to pull the trigger on Solana because I don't want another seed phrase. I don't want another wallet. I don't want another logging. I don't want all this complexity, which is not that complex, but all this hassle that comes with it, unless it's really worth it, right? So if at some stage we can do some kind of ENS address login, both on Ethereum and Solana, I would greatly appreciate
that. So what if I told you that Magic Eden lets you buy Solana NFTs with your MetaMask using ETH on all collections right now?
That would be cool.
Well, they do.
Well, there you go. You know, clearly more of that innovation happening on the Solana front. Easy's point about Magic Eden is a valid one, and we're seeing more platforms check out of the NFT marketplace race. You know, I think I saw an update that Coinbase just posted another huge loss. Or not a loss, but just poor revenue for their marketplace platform. We're going to move on from the Solana discussion and wrap the show with some other topics. I just brought on Ma Bean, who's into Web3, fitness, coffee, and downhill longboarding. Well, let's talk about the Web3 stuff. You're on stage, Ma Bean. You requested to speak. What's going on? Number two of person that requested to speak and wasn't actually
getting ghosted.
Interested. Ghosted. We're getting ghosted today, ladies and gentlemen. Is this an indicator? is this an indicator of
you gotta like you gotta like we have to start like pinning their most recent tweet and then just start like responding, being like, "Oh, why do you behave like this? What type of performance is this?" Just go respond to their tweets, call them out, give us their Twitter account. I'm not saying to say mean things. I'm just saying this was disrespectful. We would appreciate it if you next time you deliver some commentary in a way which is, you know, responsible and respectable of what's going on here.
Exactly. And so I'm letting somebody else up. I'm letting Ryan Betancourt on stage. Ryan, it says that you're the CEO of Wild Earth Pets. But we're not going to talk about that. It does also say that you are a VC from the Web3 world. I'd be curious to know about, number one, anything but Wild Earth Pets, and specifically anything about the NFT
market.
And
I'm definitely not going to ghost you guys. Can you hear me?
We can
All
hear
right,
you.
Great. So, look, I've loved this debate, and I'll focus on Web3 too. So I've done a lot of stuff. I currently run Wild Earth, which is like the largest –
anything but
I got that
Earth,
tuna,
Ryan.
Baby.
Anything
Yo,
but Wild
Pio,
Earth.
It's all good because we got to talk about Wild Earth tuna. It's very tasty. I always order it, and it's
I won't go into it. I won't go into it, guys. So yeah, look, Web3 infrastructure is a really important question point. So I've loved ETH, NFTs. I've loved the show. Loved Tezos and Solana NFTs. I tried Near. Couldn't work with that. I didn't really enjoy my experience with Near. And so I just wanted to talk a little bit about the infrastructure because I think, you know, we have to remember Sol is so young. If you look at Solana Summer Camp, which is happening now, we saw something like over 13,000 individuals applied to join Solana Summer Camp, right? And that's really a hackathon that's happening right now, right? So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to see an incredible amount of new startups and infrastructure coming out for Sol. We're already seeing mass adoption happening. And so, you know, we're seeing activity levels that are higher many days than we're seeing in ETH and sometimes across all blockchains. And so I'm not a maxi. I love ETH. I love ETH NFTs, but I love Sol too. And so obviously DeGods, Solana Monkey Business, even some of the, you know, less loved NFTs like Thugbirds, you know, there's a lot of really interesting stuff happening on the PFPs. And then what I'm actually probably most bullish about is actually a lot of the fine art. I can't remember who was saying earlier. I think it was it NFT Nick that was basically talking about fine art and NFTs. I mean, fine art has exploded in Solana probably the last, I'd say last month or two. And so it's definitely something to watch for those of us that have seen the rise of fine art on ETH. This might be bigger. We just haven't.
Yeah, I totally think that you could see a trend on Solana, you know, focused on fine art. I mean, Nick, you raise your hand and then I want to throw to Kix. What's going on?
Well, I was just wondering, Pia, what brand of dog food do you guys do you feed your dog? I was just curious. I mean, not for any specific reason. I was just wondering.
I don't even remember, man. But it's clearly good food.
Clearly it's not Wild Earth because they create, you know, the best dog food around. I was out here saying that I was eating the tuna. That's a completely different brand. So my apologies.
Yeah, oh, you were talking about Wild Planet, like canned tuna.
Yeah,
and
that's
sardines.
What I was thinking of. Wild Earth, though. What I mean, they were on Shark Tank, so shout out to them on being a successful entrepreneur, and shout out to Pio's dog Sapphire for being a huge fan of Wild Earth, even though Pio didn't even realize it. You, look, I've been speaking with Sapphire recently, and she's been saying, "Pio, get me some Wild Earth."
I'm sending it to all of you guys. All of you guys are getting vegan dog food. Just be ready.
I'm going to start eating dog food.
Jesus.
Literally.
Okay.
You know, you got it. That's what they say. You got to dog food your own product. So how much of this, how often do you eat this food, Ryan?
By the way, this last week, every single day, I was at this big conference and people were weirded out. And I was like, look, it's just plants and I'm eating and people were grossed out. That was the whole point. Right?
There so we you were go. Dog food, Nick.
That's
baby.
What
That's
you
what
gotta do.
About.
That's exactly what it is.
By the way, all the sharks ate the dog food on Shark Tank, just for the record. You can check it out.
Okay.
I think I may have actually seen that, but congratulations. You. You know, and if a Wild Planet tuna becomes unavailable, I'll have to switch over to eating literal dog food. So appreciate that.
Kix, you raised your hand. I'm assuming you prepared some of that juicy data for us.
Yeah. So I got a little data to talk over, and I dropped the charts that I'm looking at in the Nifty Portal Discord. But there's like some, you know, I think some pretty significant, you know, things. So for example, we bottomed out at like 15 million a day USD in volume at on June 19th on OpenSea, and we've pretty much held that range for 2 months now. So I think that's like really significant. Cause like if this was like lights out for the NFT market, you would think that volume would just keep bleeding out. But we've seen like consistently $15 million a day on OpenSea, for the last 2 months. So that's still, you know, $5 billion a year, in secondary. And that is despite there being like a huge amount of volatility in, the ETH prices over the last like 2 months. And I think that the best case scenario for us is, if you've noticed, we've had a pretty decent week in the NFT space over the past week. And conversely, there hasn't been much action on crypto. And I think if, you know, crypto can kind of cool down and not have these, you know, crazy money making opportunities, we can potentially see more and more capital shift into buying NFTs. And we're seeing wrapped ETH offers down. From the 15th, 40% of all sales were wrapped ETH offers. Yesterday, we came in at 14%, which is the lowest amount of sales to wrapped offers since July 9th. So we're at a 45. We had a 45-day bottom in the amount of people dumping to offers. There's still more sellers than buyers, and there's also we're still slowly bleeding the amount of people trading NFTs. But it seems like those numbers are declining. And so when we stop having net sellers, it's overall going to be very good for the NFT market in general. But I think that could still maybe be a couple of months away. But I do think in the next 30 days, there's going to be, if you have capital and you pick your spot smartly, there's going to be lots of opportunities. And I don't think that there's going to be maybe a ton of bloodbath as long as ETH doesn't like absolutely crash on us.
My guy Kix, I love it when Kix is excited about the NFT market, and there's few people that can analyze, you know, volume and other, you know, data points the way that Kix does. it's no surprise, Kix, that you, you've had some big wins. You've donated some money back over the past 4 or 5 months, but that DigiDai Goku was an absolute banger for you. I'm happy that you know, you took advantage of that, man. Throw in a Running Man, the co-host of Solana Made Easy, basically the head mod in the Soul Trade section of the Nifty Discord, one of my favorite people. Running Man, what's going on?
How's it going, PR? I'm just, I mean, if I'm not too light, I'll just jump, just add a bit to that Solana discussion.
Shocker, Running Man, that you're at it. Yeah. That's a shock. All right, go ahead.
I started trading ETH NFTs, mainly around play to earn. And I mean, it just struck me that in order for mass adoption to take place on NFTs, it needs to be on a micro transaction level, which is what, you know, started moving over to Solana. I like to think I'm like cross-chain, but at the moment, I mean, if you look in this bear market, Solana just seems so much more alive than you know, the ETH blockchain in this bear market. And I think, you know, future investments in VC have got to look at that, you know, and realise that, you know, this market can be alive 365 days a year instead of 180. You know, you'd think that investment had come over. I mean, ETH basically had first-to-market mover advantage in, you know, on the NFT market, you know, especially over Solana. And I just wonder, you know, there's a lot of people still married to bags on there, a lot of friction, you know, to come over. I mean, we've already started seeing influencers start to farm engagement in the Solana spaces. And I just wonder if the pieces were reset and everybody went back to fiat now, and Solana and ETH was both an option, where the funds would flow into without people holding bags from the last bull run. And that's basically, you know, the question.
Yeah, I mean, Nick, you have your hand raised. Easy would probably have really good perspective on this.
That was an accident. That was okay. For Kasim who got.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm assuming Kasim, we'll talk about that in a second, Nick. But Signal, go ahead.
Yeah, no, just on Running Man's point, I think his last question is really insightful. And I would say if the markets were reset, what you would need to look at is what the institutional adoption is. Because as much as retail is obviously a huge part of the market, what people will follow in the end is what the institutions do. So if the institutions put capital in Solana, then that's where retail will go. If the institutions put capital into Ethereum, then that's where the retail money will flow. And that is a vertical that hasn't really come through for many different reasons. Sorry, I'm going to have to finish my point next week.
Yeah, no worries, Sig. We know what the family life can be like. Nick, were you making a comment about how Kasim was probably a Twitter bug is making him request to speak and we can't get him on stage?
Oh, I just thought he was rugged. Anyways, I sent him a DM and was like, yo, you're rugged.
Yeah, I mean,
you're rugged. Which is different than the other people. I mean, that's better than other people that are showing up. Wait, you're saying there's a bug that makes people actually request to come on?
I think so, because I don't think he wanted to request. It would just be, I don't know, it would be out of the ordinary for him to request today just randomly. But maybe, and then after getting rugged over and over again, persistently requesting, I have to think that that was an accident. It happened with another friend of the show, Matt James, before, where he's ended up on stage and we throw to him and he's like, wait, I wasn't supposed to be up here. So anyway, that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We hope you enjoyed it. We do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, each and every week, talking all things NFT market. Sign up for the Nifty newsletter. Go to thenifty.com and pop your email address in there, and you can sign up for our newsletter. And as always, shout out to our sponsor, FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code TheNifty on your FTX mobile app. If you spend over $200 on FTX, you'll get a $20 bonus airdropped into your account in the cryptocurrency of your choosing. We'll be back next week. Have a good weekend. Check out the NFT show on YouTube today at 4 p.m. Eastern. It'll be me, Nick, and Kix. We'll see you there.